Blog Talk Radio.
What's going down, fellow actors, fellow performers, and non-performers alike, and to all those on land, in the air, and at sea, welcome to another fantastic episode of Inside Acting, brought to you by none other than William, the King of DC Media Powell. Tonight's episode is brought to you by the online column DC Actors Examiner. Tonight I have two outstanding guests. The first is a return guest, actor and producer Margene Holden. And my second guest is up-and-coming actor Sean Ray. And they are going to be some outstanding guests. But before we get to there, let me go ahead and read a little bit of news here. We've got a little bit of news out here at Synopsis, synopsis.com. That's CYNOPSIS.com. And we've got Synopsis Sports. Got an announcement here about LaDainian Tomlinson, who is a retired running back. Was on the Chargers and the Jets. He is set to begin his broadcasting career, joining NFL Network, where he'll serve as an analyst on the network's new Sunday Morning First on the Field program. And he will appear beginning September 9th. And he's got co-hosts Melissa Stark and Sterling Sharp, as well as NFL insider Michael Lombardi. So all you football fans, look out for Mr. LaDainian Tomlinson. He's going to be on the NFL Network. And let's see what else we have here. On the news coming up here. See, we've got ESPN founding chairman Stuart Every has joined Gravity Collection Incorporated, where he will serve as the media company's executive chairman and partner with Gravity Collection CEO Harry Vested Jr. in launching a new action sports network. You know, every time I turn around, they've always got new networks on, things coming down that you never heard of before. I mean, there's just so many. I think there's just about a channel for just about every interest. I mean, there's no end to it. So I'm going to dig for another little item. But before I do that, let me just get into this the studio here, make sure everything's up and running, and we'll be talking to Margene Holden very soon. And I know she had some problems, getting to a landline phone, so we hope everything is all right there. Let me just double check some stuff here. And let's see, Margene, is that you?
It is me.
yes, how are you?
Yes, I'm well. Thank you very much. I'm
good.
Doing better now.
That's good. I heard you got stuck in some traffic.
Yeah, you know, LA is famous for rush hour traffic in the evening, and I just happened to be stuck in it. So I wasn't planning on being stuck in it, but ended up being stuck in it. So, you know.
Wow, did you get stuck on 405?
Yeah, I got stuck on the lovely 405, and for those of you who have never been out here to L.A., the 405 is, you know, it's like our major connector from one side of town to the other side of town, and they've decided they're expanding it and widening the 405, so now there's a lot of construction happening on it as well, which makes things even more interesting than before. So, yes. That's all I'm saying about that. It's interesting. It's interesting, yeah.
Interesting, okay.
Yeah.
So tell me what's going on with your film, number 10.
Wow, well, we're still in the throes of our crowdfunding campaign, and, you know, it's been a little slow going, and some of the elements just haven't popped. And, you know, it's just something classic for the film industry or being in the industry. And sometimes, you know, you plan, you prepare, and you do everything that you can do or that you know how to do at the moment. And, left, and sometimes things just, you know, for whatever reason, they just don't, you know, don't fall into place as you planned or as quickly as you would have liked them to, or whatever, you know, for whatever reason. And, you know, so we're still moving, and we're still getting the word out there, and still, you know, looking for contributors to come be part of the process. So it's, you know, we're still in the development stage, which is a crucial stage for any production, as well as, you know, I'll segue that into being an actor, the development, and that's getting, you know, your education and being prepared and seeing, you know, it's like, well, what's my look going to be, and how can I diversify my look, and how can I develop myself as a well-rounded performer in all of these areas, and take some things that are key strengths for you, and really develop those and hone those, and make sure that, you know, you're on point with those, and find some things that maybe you're not as, you know, strong in areas, and just get more education in them.
Yeah. So you said that you're still in development. So are you talking about things like locations and that kind of thing?
Oh yeah. We haven't even gotten to locations yet. We're still in fundraising. So, you know, in that process for us, I mean, it's not this way for, you know, it might not be this way for everyone, but for us, you know, we're in the fundraising process so that we can get into all of those things, like location scouts and hiring more crew, and we've got a fairly good idea of who, you know, who we would bring on board. But in the development process, you know, you do the things like your fundraising and character developments and script and throwing around different ideas for cast members and, you know, and different ideas for locations, and thinking down the track of, well, you know, who are we going to, you know, distribute to, and who do we know, you know, what resources do we have, you know, to make those contacts and things like that. So just, you know, an overall view of the big picture.
Talk to the listeners out there about the fundraising perks.
Well, we've got several different levels of fundraising of perks happening that they can be, you know, they can select when they come. They can come and they can select anything from $7 up to, you know, sort of like $2,900, where they can either come to the set and watch us, you know, and be part of the actual process on set. There's a perk for that. And then there's after parties and being part of special VIP panels and getting to really talk to the cast and the crew and producers and director and have a private dinner with them, or have a red carpet event and come to one of the advanced screenings. And, you know, or if you just want to come along and say, hey, I just want to, you know, help you guys out and give you $7 and help get your guys rolling, that's awesome as well.
Absolutely. So tell me a little bit about the star of the movie, Sazzy Bullock.
Salak, yeah. she's a Malaysian actress, and she's been, you know, very well versed down there, and part of our, you know, strategy was that, you know, we take somebody that was a relative unknown to the rest of the world, and, you know, they cater to her fan base to you know, put together this project that they could really get behind and see somebody from their country expanding into another, you know, area and bringing more notoriety to the country, because it's a fairly small country. And even though, you know, they have their own film industry and their productions, and we just thought, oh, well, let's, you know, try this cross-cultural mix to see, you know, how we go.
Okay. All right.
So,
so now at this point, you said that you're pretty much in the planning stages. About how far along in the planning stages? I mean, you know, like 50%, 80%?
Well, I would say, you know, we have a really good idea of, you know, where we want to take the story and how we want to do that. But, you know, I can't even say, you know, really that we're at 50% because there's so many different stages of the production, like the development. Okay, so, okay, if I had to break it down into, okay, we're in development, so I'd say we're, you know, oh, we're about, you know, 40% into the development, okay? And development can take anywhere from, you know, it just depends. You know, some movies have been in development for, oh my gosh, you know, it seems like for ever and ever.
Yeah.
And then you move into your pre-production phase, which is, you know, right before shooting. And then you have your shooting phase where you're in principal photography and you're shooting. And depending on how long you're shooting, you know, it's that's very, you know, dependent on your schedule. And then you've got your post-production, which can be, you know, some productions are in post for, you know, six months, you know, 8 months. Just depends on, you know, how the story falls together and in the editing and all of those different elements and how you, you know, put your music to, you know, so that your soundtrack is in alignment with your story and everything's working and feeling right.
How big do you think the cast is going to be all together?
Oh, geez. I'm not sure because primarily it's focused on, it's on this central character and then there are a few bad guys in it. So the cast, you know, it could be a very small cast, but then depending on, you know, where we decide to fully take the writing, it could expand. You know, we just don't know at this point. But we're you know, the original idea is that the cast would be smaller.
So you're not going to have a whole lot of extras?
Probably not a whole lot. We'll have a few, you know, and we'll get our, you know, we'll have our friends and come in. Come be an extra today for us. <You know?
laughs> Yeah, that's a good way
come
to
down.
Do it.
We,
yeah.
need, we need five people for her to, you know, for this character to sort of, you know, jump out of the way over or have you get in the way of, or run by, things like that. So
you're not going to have a big CGI budget and all that stuff. It sounds like an old school kind of movie, really. Yeah, like the
80s. No, we will not have, you know, there won't be any, you know, special effects. All the stunts are practical. They're live, you know, so it'll all be real because it is an action picture. It's not, it's real time and it's not a, it's not set in the future. It's not set in a different time period. You know, it's present day. So there's not a lot of, you know, there's no explosions and there's no guns and you know, so we're not blowing anything up on this one. Maybe on another one we'll be blowing some things up, but this one we won't be blowing anything up. So
yeah. Well, talking of things blowing up, if this film blows up, and I hope it does, I mean, is this, you can see this part of a series, or are you going to go in another direction, or what?
Oh, God, I don't know. I'm not sure. There's so many ideas that I have, and there's other stories that, you know, I've had, you know, going around in the brain and other things as well, so... This was really, you know, this is a smaller independent project that we thought, okay, hey, let's jump into this and see how we go. So, but who knows? You never know. That's the thing. It's like you never know. I mean, I can relate this back to, you know, I don't know if we had talked about Crusade, you know, before.
We didn't get
on the show before. Okay, so I'm going to relate something back to Crusade, and when I got the role on Crusade, I had already worked on Babylon 5 in one of the movies of the week, and mm-hmm. I was the navigational officer in one of the movies of the week, and called A Call to Arms, and when it came time to cast the series, they, you know, my manager at the time was like, now we want to put her in for the series and bring her in for the series. And they're like, yeah, no problem. And they're like, they're not going to have a problem. I said, no, we've had characters that have come back and played different characters before. So I thought, well, that was just such a bonus, and it was so great to be able to, you know, come back in for the same, you know, the same universe. I mean, because Babylon 5 and Crusade were the same universe. So it was nice to be able to have them the producers and the director think, well, this is fine because we can make her another character. And even though she's the same actress, the characters are completely different. And they, you know, the look was completely different. So it was an opportunity to, you know, play in two spheres of the same universe, which was really cool.
Yeah, I've seen some of the pictures of Crusade. I think I've actually seen some actual scenes, and you seem like a very prim and proper kind of character, very straight-laced.
Yeah. Well, then you saw the three or four scenes where I was very straight-laced.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it was, even though, yes, I was playing a doctor, but I was on a mission. I was really on a mission because I had lots of, you know, home ties for, you know, the storyline was that we were out, you know, searching for this cure for this plague, and I had home ties on the planet. So it was really important for me to solve this mystery and find this cure so that I could go and protect my family. But yeah, it started off, you know, the first couple of episodes was very straight-laced and very, you know, straightforward. And then afterwards we loosened up a little bit, and I said, you know, maybe we can just, you know, have a little bit more fun. And the, you know, J. Michael Straczynski was like, oh, we're gonna lighten you up just a little bit and, you know, bring some more, you know, fun to it and really create some dynamics between myself and David Allen Brooks, who was Max Eilerson. And he and I had this really sort of, like, he had his agenda and I had mine, and he was from the corporate money-making world and I was from the, you know, the philanthropic. It's like, I'm the doctor and I'm going to find this cure, and I know that you're all about the money and all you want to do is find, you know, things that you can go and sell. So it was really fun to be able to have that dynamic and get into that as we went on. And, you know, the unfortunate, you know, item being that we didn't get picked up beyond the first 13 episodes, but it was there were a lot of things that we would have done in the second and third seasons had we continued on, which would have been fantastic, you know, to develop those even deeper, you know, rivalries. So it was fun.
Right. And then well, tell me about Star Trek.
Star Trek, that was, gosh, it was so nice to, that actually segued into me being in Crusade, because the director, Michael Vihar, was the director for Deep Space Nine, the episode that I went in for and that I got, and I had been wanting to be on Star Trek for so long because, you know, I grew up on Star Trek, the original. So that was just a staple. It's like, I've got to be on Star Trek. I've got to be in Star Trek, you know. And even now, it's like, if they came to me and said, we want you to be in the next Star Trek movie, I'd be like, I'll be an alien. I'll be, you know, a human. I don't care what I am. Yes.
You'd do anything,
Put me in Star Trek. I would be a great alien.
You'd be the janitor.
I would be a great alien.
Yes, but
Star Trek goes, you know, and that was just one of those really, really fun to be able to work on that set and to be able to work with all of the people that have been behind that and just to be part of that universe as well. Because like I said, you know, Star Trek was such a staple for me growing up, and to be able to play into that universe was really, really special for me. It was really great. Even though I died.
What was the set like? I mean, did they do a good job of, like, trying to transport you into that world with the set and how everything was set up? Or did you have to use a lot of your imagination to make all that stuff up?
Nope, it was all set up, and we were, in our particular episode, we were going to a substation, you know, to a space station. So we were investigating this space station, and the whole space station was just all set up, and there was no, you know, I didn't have to use my imagination for anything, which was really, really great. Yeah, it was really great. I mean, and just the level of, you know, the level and the quality of the production was, of course, is phenomenal. And it was just a lot of, you know, it was really, really a lot of fun and being on the set and having the whole space station in the sound stage was just really, it was really cool. You know, and I love science fiction. So anytime I get the opportunity to be on a science fiction show, it's like, and be on some space station, you know, Elon Crusade, it's like, okay, here's a ship and here's a space station, and then we go down the hall and over here, and then here's this part of the ship, and there's that part of the ship. It's just really, it was really great, you know, to especially to have that experience on Crusade, to have one set that was just the ship. And that's what it was, you know, one soundstage completely dedicated to this is a ship. And
Martine, I have an idea for you. Number 10 on Mars.
Is that the sequel to John Carter on Mars?
No comment.
Yeah, number 10 on Mars. Well, that's an interesting. Yeah, that's interesting. Now I think you're onto something here. Put a little bit of science fiction in it, you know, it's like, she's coming back.
Kung Fu
okay.
Sci-fi.
Something to think about. Definitely something to think about. Now you're talking my language. Yeah, make number 10 a science fiction action.
That's right. Yeah,
you
can film it out in the desert, you know, go out to Arizona somewhere, and it could double as Mars. Put a red filter on the camera lens, make it look Mars-like, you know. Yeah,
right.
It might work.
It just might.
So you were on ER. Talk about that.
I was. It was. You know, I had been trying to get on ER forever, and my manager had been trying to get me on ER forever. And the very last, you know, few episodes of the show, when they were getting ready to wrap up, she said, "Oh, well, you know, they want to see you on ER." And I was like, "You're kidding, really? Like, really?" And she said, "Yeah, they want to see you on ER." So, you know, I went in, and it was for producers. It was like straight to producers, and it was the role of an adoption agency and director of an adoption agency, and so something very, very straight and very professional and very different from a lot of things that I had done prior to that, and so when I showed up and had, you know, a few of us had been in the business for a while, and we had been looking at each other and like, "Have you ever been on the ER?" "No, I haven't been on the ER." It's like, "I thought you'd been on the ER." They're like, "I thought you'd been on the ER." And it's like, no. Sort of all of us that had not been on the show yet had been, you know, called in, and we all got to, you know, it's like, "Oh, yeah." And it's like, I was like, "Yeah, I'll get this one now." And it was just one of those situations where it was they had us come in and they had us all read with each other, which was fantastic, because a lot of times when you go in, you're reading with a casting director. But what they had done is they had put us in groups so that we all read with each other, which was phenomenal. And to be able to work with the other actors in the audition was just so great. It was just so wonderful.
A whole different energy.
And a whole different thing, you know, a whole different energy. And I was there, and there was another actress who was supposed to be coming in to read for the same role that I was reading for, and that didn't show up. So they needed somebody to come in and read with another group. So I ended up going into producers twice for the same role and reading with the other group that needed someone reading with them as well. And I thought, yeah, I'll take that opportunity. Anytime I can get in front of producers twice, three times, yeah, absolutely. And as fate would have it, they was like, "Yep, they want to book Margene. They want to book you." And I was like, "Yeah, great, fantastic."
Wow.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
So it was, so it was really, really fun.
That puts me in mind of this area. I know all my, lot of my fellow actors have been on America's Most Wanted, which is produced here in the D.C. area. And I have not been, but you know, the closest I've been to being on that show was, there's something in this area called the 48-Hour Film Festival. And I got to do a scene with John Walsh of America's Most Wanted. It was like a little comedy film, and because the guys that were putting together the little, you put together these little 5-minute films, and the guy that was the director actually worked there at America's Most Wanted. So that's the closest I've been to being on that show. But I can a lot of actors around here, they can relate to you know, you try over and over again to get on a certain show. Like I know a friend of mine that's been trying to get on CSI New York, you know, over and over and over, and then it's like you wonder if it's ever going to happen.
Right. Yeah.
Let's talk about Mr. Steve Harvey. Now he has really blown up. Now you knew him back then.
Yes. Yeah. So good for him and his radio show and his book and his movie, and it's just wonderful. I mean, working with him was really, it was so fun. It was an education, and getting to work with him and Cedric and, you know, Wendy and the girls on the show. It was, you know, most of the comedy that I had done has just been, you know, for the sitcoms. And, you know, it's like one of those things where, again, where you go in and you audition and it's like, am I going to get this or is it right? And I just happened to, you know, all of the sitcoms that I had done, I had known either an executive producer or a producer or someone on the show, and I think Steve Harvey show was the same. I think one of the producers that I had known and worked with before, could have been Stan Lathan, or one of the directors, Stan Lathan.
Oh man, he's a monster director. He's directed so much.
Yeah.
Wow.
And
Santa's father.
I've worked with him a couple of times, so, but yeah, it was just fun because, you know, there are just certain things, and I was like, well, okay, I did this, and then Steve was like, no, don't touch the suit like that, and I was like, okay, all right, I won't touch the suit like that. You know, but it was really fun, and he was just a crack up. I mean, my God, it's just. It's nice to be on a job where it's just so fun, you know, and everybody's, you know, serious about what they're doing, and everybody's very talented and doing their job and doing their, you know, their craft, but to just be able to laugh and maintain and not laugh during
the straight person.
During the live performance, you know, during
That's
the
tough.
Live taping, it's like oh, you know, and I've had those moments where I've just, like, not been able to keep it together and just, you know, cracking up and start laughing and just be like, oh, man, I can't keep it together. I can't keep it together and just laughing. And and as an actor, you're always thinking, don't let me be that one. Don't let me be that one. Don't let me be that one. You know, it's like you're going over it in your mind, don't let me be that one. So let me be that one to just, like, break character and be cracking up and not be able to maintain, you know, the situation. And it happened when I was on a movie, the very first movie I had a starring role in. And I just, every time we got to this one part, it was just like, keep it together. Could not keep it together. just cracking up and laughing and laughing. And then finally the director's just like, hey, come on, you guys. Let's go. It's like, yeah, well, you know, now it's like 4 o'clock in the morning. We're kind of tired and it's, you know, it's cold. It's freezing. You know, it's a, you know, on the movie that I had done with Brad Johnson and Stephen Cornwall, the Philadelphia Experiment too. And it was just sort of like, we got to this one line and we just, every single time it's like, I just cracked up. And I was just like, and it wasn't even funny. You know,
some lines do that to you.
It wasn't even funny.
Not intentionally.
It was not intentionally funny, but it was just every time we got to this one certain part, it just, we couldn't keep it together.
That's
and finally,
funny.
I think, you know, after about 30 minutes of just, you know, cracking up and tears rolling down the face and just okay. Take a deep
biting
breath.
Your tongue.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, the fake cough.
Yes, take a deep breath and push through. Just push through. You know, back to one. Okay. Back to one. Back to one. I was like, oh,
back to one.
Again. Yeah, back
over
to one,
and
take
over
14.
Again.
Oh.
Oh, man.
You know, yeah. And I mean, and that's the last thing you want to hear, you know, as an actor. Take 14. Take 18.
Oh, my.
Take
oh,
20.
My
it's
God.
Like, ah! And then, you know, the stress level sets in.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No doubt. No doubt.
But
yeah.
Things
so,
that
a couple of things I want to ask about. One thing is, when you audition,
mm-hmm.
do you ever deal with any kind of anxiety?
Yes. Yes, yes, and yes. I left acting for a time just because of that, because I was having such bad anxiety every time I'd go for an audition. I thought, oh, this is not good. This can't be good. This is not good. Can't handle. No. You know, and I had to take a step back because it was just like, oh. I was like, what's going on? What is going on? And that for me was just, okay, time to take a break, time to step back and really just, you know, gather yourself and, you know, think about, okay, well, where do I want to go? What types of roles do I want to do, and
you know,
and things like that. But yeah, you know, and I've had those times where I've been really nervous for auditions and thought, oh, there's no way I'm going to get this, and go in and get the part, and then go in other times and be so confident, and so this is my role, I'm perfect for this role, like they wrote this role for me, and not gotten it. I mean, just like, you know, I've remembered, you know, a couple of roles like that, and I'm just like, what do you mean? Like, this is, like, made for me. It's like, I'm sword fighting, and you want me to ride a horse, and you want me to do battle? That's me! And didn't get the role. And I thought,
wow. Yeah. I have friends that say this, the exact same thing. I have a friend, Tracy Teague, who was on The Wire several years ago. She said the exact same thing, that you're sure you're going to get the part, and you go in there, you don't get it. There's other times where she thought she did terrible. She thought she did terrible, and there was something that was natural that the directors just enjoyed what they saw. I read a story once about Eastwood when he tried out for Rawhide. It was the same kind of thing. He went in, he couldn't nail the monologue perfectly, but he figured that if I could just get the emotional highs and lows and not worry about nailing it perfectly, that he'd get it. And because the guy that went in there before he did actually went in and he had everything, every period and comma was perfect. But then he went in, he just, like, hit the high notes, and, you know, the rest was history. He was able to get it. You know, you never know what's going to happen.
It's true. It's true. I mean, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and he said, 34 movies. I've done 34 movies, won awards, starred in movies, 30 years in the business, and I still can't figure it out. He said, I still can't figure it out. And I was like, I know.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
yeah, it just makes you wonder about the real geniuses in the business, like, you know, Meryl Streep or, you know, Sam Jackson or Robert Duvall or these guys that have just been in there for just, like, for years. It's just, like, amazing.
Yeah.
It's absolutely amazing.
We're
coming down to the last few minutes. Now, I was supposed to have this gentleman, Mr. Sean Ray, dial in. I did not see him on the board. I want you to hang on.
Okay.
And let me see if I can go get him. Sometimes we have difficulties. I got this old East German equipment here, and sometimes people have trouble. They got trouble getting through. So let me see if I can grab them here. And it'll take a few minutes. So while I'm doing that, tell me about your Military Order of the Purple Heart. Is that what's that all about?
Well, you know, that was an award that I was honored with, doing some work with the veterans up in my parents at the time lived in Prescott, Arizona, and they had asked me to come and be part of a function, and for doing that, they awarded me, you know, this honor, and I thought, wow, that's really great, and I just spent some time there and spent some time with them, and, you know, and it's been a while, so I'm not even, I can't even recall what exactly we were doing, but there was an event that we did. And it was really quite an honor, because my dad was in the military, and you know, he was in Army. So it was nice to be able to go and be part and give back to, you know, to the military and talk to the veterans and really be able to, you know, say thank you for the service that they had done for our country, and for the ability for us to be free and to have a free country and to have the freedom that we do that so many other countries just don't have.
Right.
Absolutely. You know, and,
absolutely.
Yeah, and for participating in that, they awarded me the Military Order of the Purple Heart, which was phenomenal.
Wow, that is phenomenal. I noticed that it says on here in your bio that one of your favorite movies is one of mine too. Is I like the Wagnerian score, Excalibur. Well, how did that come about? What drew you to that?
Oh, Excalibur. Yeah, it's really any movie that has anything to do with you know, knights and dragons and anything with the Round Table and King Arthur and that whole time period. Was just, you know, the medieval times for me. I was always interested in that type of energy and that type of story, and being, you know, there were horses in it, and B, there's horses in it, and there are swordsmen in it, and there's, you know, always a good, you know, fighting for the rights of others to be free, and the stories. I mean, anything in that time period, I was really, always really attracted to, you know, the Excaliburs and the movies like Dragonheart and, you know, those kind of movies. I love that whole realm, you know, where there's magic and there's, you know, there's adventure and you've got, you know, the danger and the knights and the swords and, you know, like Braveheart.
Right.
Just absolutely. I'm not sure why. I just loved that time period. It's just something that I've always been interested in. Ever since I was a kid, I always liked reading mythology. You know, no matter what kind of mythology it was, I've always loved Greek mythology, you know, as well. And, you know, reading about the Greek gods and, you know, every time there's a movie that has anything to do with the Greek gods, I'm always there, you know, anything, Wrath of the Titans, Clash of the Titans, you know.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
You know, even the football movie, Remember the Titans. You know, like anything that's got Titans in it, I'm pretty much going to go and I'm going to check out and I'm going to see.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of those kind of movies too. I mean, like Braveheart is a good one. Conan, that was the one I like.
Yeah,
the original
Conan
was. Yeah, that was a pretty good one. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Yep. so we're coming near the end. Just hang with me here. I got my man Sean Ray. I'm still trying to call him. We're having all kinds of problems here with the switchboard, which is kind of a bummer. It's not the best thing in the world. Yeah, I'm getting kind of caught up in that. So talk a little bit about, was it One Hop Kendo? That's a martial art.
Yes, One Hop Kendo martial art. It's a part of the Kajikembo system. It came out of the Kajikembo system. The originator of the system is Sigong Al Dacascos, and Al created this system, One Hop Kendo, combination martial arts. And I started studying it what year was it? Let me see, date myself here. 1990 or 91, I think it was. I don't know, I was like maybe 12. I was when I first came to Los Angeles, a couple years after, and found, you know, was dating a martial artist, and it was his father's style. So I started studying it because I really enjoyed martial arts, and I had tried a couple of different, you know, martial arts before, and they didn't really fit with me. And I thought, and I found, you know, this system was really more conducive to my body style, and the movements were more more fluid, and I really liked the way in which it flowed. And, you know, so I studied for 10 years, and it really was one of those principles that helped me so much in you know, being able to do the things that I've done on camera, you know, the fighting, and, you know, a lot of the stunts that I've done has been directly related to the fact that you know, I studied martial arts and I could actually throw a punch and make it look decent and throw some kicks and look strong. And, you know, it was really, you know, for me, it was a beautiful system. Beautiful, beautiful system. I don't train anymore. Just, you know, there's just, you know, going in different directions, but I don't train anymore. I wasn't aspiring to be a teacher of the system or anything like that. It's just, you know, more for myself personally. And it was a way to stay grounded and, you know, be in a really great community. And, yeah, I've got some really, you know, I still have, you know, my training buddies we're still close. So it was a beautiful, beautiful experience for me.
Yeah, I've studied Taekwondo before, and it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This both mentally and physically.
Yes. Yeah. But I tell you that game really, well, I should say it a game, but that art really, you know, the discipline of it was really, for me, you know, helped stay grounded in the industry and helped keep my focus and keep my center and keep me in a space of, you know, really being, you know, more, I think, you know, a lot on the spiritual end as well, staying in tune and, you know, really focusing and having to remember combinations. And, you know, a lot of that went hand in hand with, like, okay, being able to remember choreography once I got on set, because I was already in the flow of remembering combination. So, I mean, which is what I did a whole lot of when I was on, you know, on Beastmaster. You know, every day I was doing a fight, or two, or three. So being able to, you know, utilize that for that purpose was, you know, was absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, so that a lot of that sounds like it led to you being a stuntwoman.
Well, it certainly helped. One of the biggest things that led to being a stunt woman is when my best friend at the time, she was like, you know, hey, I'm going to go do these stunts, and why don't you come and practice with us and train with us and, you know, maybe get into it. And I thought, oh, okay, great. And I really enjoyed it. You know, I'd always been physical, always been an athlete. You know, I was always doing something physical when I was younger. So for me, it felt really natural. And I had met some people in the stunt industry and met some stunt coordinators, and they had said, oh, well, hey, you know, well, I know you're an actress and everything, but why don't you come along and, you know, and we could use you and do some stunts. And I was like, okay, that sounds fun too.
Because I think I saw somewhere on the web you actually have an award. In,
Do I?
An award. Yeah, it was you were at an award ceremony about having something to do with being a stunt woman. Okay, here we go. We got my man Sean Ray. We're going to bring him in. Hey, Sean, what's up, brother? Sorry for the inconvenience, man. Is that you?
Yeah, it's me. How you doing?
Yeah, man, how you doing? Say hello to Margene Holden.
Hello, Margene.
Hey, Sean, how are you?
I'm fine.
All right. Yeah, man, sorry about that, man. We had all kind of problems here. I got to work that out. But enough of that, man. Let's just quickly get into some of the stuff you've been doing, man. So were you on set today? You been keeping busy or what?
Not today. Today I've just been, you know, with my kids, just, you know, hanging
uh-huh.
out with them. I think I'm supposed to be going on set this weekend. I'm not sure yet, but we'll probably find out by tomorrow.
Okay, that's what's up. So let's talk about your last three movies. You had Broken Image, Her Essence, and Daymare.
Yeah, those were actually my first shorts. It was about a couple of years ago. Right now I'm working on a current project called Living With No Regrets. That one is based on a book by Alonzo Herron.
Okay.
And it's an indie film, full feature. I'm also working on another film called Ringside Story by Maurice Paramore.
Uh-huh.
He's from Burlington, New Jersey. They're in pre-production now, so hopefully by next month we'll be, you know, ready to roll. And I just wrapped up on a short this past weekend on Saturday, which I also co-produced, called The Rapture. Well, it's called Rapture, not The Rapture.
Right.
And it's directed by Nadine Barnett Cosby, and she's also the writer on that project.
Okay.
So
I've
been
very
busy.
I've heard of her before.
Mm-hmm.
I think I might have heard of her before.
She actually did Her Essence. I was in that short as well.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's what's up. So talk a little bit about your background, man.
I was just a 9-to-5 kind of guy. Went to like one of this a free acting coach sessions, so to speak, through my brother-in-law, he's actually an actor. He just told me, hey, go down, check it out. And from there, I just caught the acting bug, and then I've just been putting myself out there and have been fortunate to have met a lot of, you know, interesting and great people just to be in the, you know, community, so to speak, of the actors, directors, producers, and, you know, I'm just taking it all the way to the top.
So now, you're not full-time yet, right?
Not really. I mean, I got projects here and there, but, you know, eventually become full-time in the acting. But I'm just taking it, you know, day by day right now.
And you never told me, where are you? You New York area or East Coast, West Coast, what?
I'm from New York. I currently live in Jersey, though.
Okay, you're in Jersey. Okay,
yep.
Okay. So have you had any theater background?
Not yet. That I look forward to.
Okay. Well, we have on the line, of course. I've been talking with Margene Holden for about the past almost hour now. So, Margene, do you have any advice for Mr. Ray?
Well, I would say, you know, keep doing what you're doing because it sounds like you love doing it. And when you love what you do, it just makes things so much more beautiful and amazing. And be absolutely grateful for all of the opportunities that you get. It's a wonderful thing, and to be able to work with great people. And I'm sure you're already experiencing that. So,
absolutely.
Keep doing it. Keep doing it.
That's what I'm doing. Just keep riding it.
That's what it is. It comes down to persistence, folks. I mean, that's really what it is. You're not going to knock everyone out of the park.
No.
You know, a lot of times we as actors are professional auditioners, and it's kind of like being a baseball player. You have, if you're a baseball player, you hit 300%. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got to keep cracking at it. You know, it's got to keep doing it. I see here, man, you got martial arts. What kind of martial arts background do you have?
Some taekwondo, a little bit of ninjutsu back in the day.
Okay, that's what's up. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, you know, Margene has, she's proficient in something called one-hop kendo.
One-hop kendo.
Yeah.
Never heard of that, but.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of it either before. Wow. So, man, that's what's up. And matter of fact, is Margene is working on a film now called Number 10, and it's got it's going to have lots of martial arts in it. So,
cool.
Yeah. So
I'll look out for that.
Yeah, a lot of opportunities out there. That's right. That is right. That's fantastic. So, Sean, why don't you put your go ahead and put your information out there, kind of plug yourself a little more. You got websites, you got Twitter pages, you got Facebook pages. What you got?
Yep, I got a Facebook fan site under Sean Ray. You can look me up on Facebook. I also got Twitter. My Twitter tag is Sean RR, S-H-A-U-N-R-R. You can hit me up on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
And right now I'm currently working on my website, so that'll be up and running. And as far as my, because I'm also a co-owner of a production company as well called NRC Productions, so we're working on that as well.
What's
the
website for that?
It's being worked on now. It's not out.
Oh, okay.
Yep, but it'll be out there soon.
Okay, that's fantastene. Okay, Margene, we're getting ready to wrap this whole thing up. I want to thank you for being on the show again. Sean, I want to thank you as well. So, Margene, anything else you want to put out there for number 10?
Well, they can just come to Indiegogo.com/number10 to check us out and make a contribution and be part of the
Okay, that sounds great. That's fantastic. Yeah, it was great having you on again, and we'll probably check back. Now, when do you think you'll have some more significant things to tell us, some more progress?
Oh, hard to say. You never know with these things. You never know, never know. But we've got about 18 days left on the campaign, so after that, we'll know more.
Okay.
We will know
okay.
More.
All right. So we'll probably check back with you maybe like 2 or 3 months, something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. And of course, you know me. We can always send messages back and forth, and I can always get you information. So.
Fantastic. That is fantastic. Yeah. Well, it was a real pleasure talking to you again, and Sean. Yeah, I apologize again, man. I don't know. I gotta. Ring some necks at the powers that be here. I don't know, man. I got a new laptop and everything. It's just one of those deals. You look at the switchboard, nobody's there, and the whole thing. But
no problem.
We make it work. Actors
yes.
make it work. I mean, you know, Margene had a little bit of traffic on 405 out there in L.A. She, her assistant.
And a crashed hard drive.
Oh my God! Yeah. So your assistant sent me a frantic email on Facebook. She said, "Oh, Margene's stuck in traffic." I said, "Oh." I said,
"Yeah."
You know, and that's life. You know, we as actors,
yeah.
we just make it do what it do, make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
true.
I'm gonna thank you all again for being on the show, and I wish you a good night. And I'm gonna say out there to all my listeners to do something for your career every day and break a leg. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night.
All right. Bye bye.